We have another live show for you guys. We're coming back to New York City because I'm back in town. We put something together for May 15th. We're back at Sesh Comedy. Show starts at 7:30. Doors open at 7 p.m.
I'm so excited. We loved Sesh when we were there the last time. I'm pumped to be able to do another show back in New York so soon. So Wednesday, May 15th.
For tickets, head to our website at findingmrheight.com/live. That's findingmrheight.com/live. You can get your tickets right there.
That ticket link will be up as you are hearing this announcement.
And the venue is BYOB. So if you want a drink, bring a drink. If you like a Diet Coke, bring a Diet Coke. And we're going to hang out afterwards. We can say hello to everybody. Hope to see you all there.
See you there.
In front of every man I've ever dated, I'm going to do jokes about dating and relationships that were inspired by the people in this room.
I'm rapping. And welcome to Finding Mr. Hyde, the podcast. I'm Allie, back with my co-host Erica, and I am back in the USA.
Welcome back, baby. How was Poland?
Oh, it was amazing. The whole trip was amazing. Started in Prague, where we spoke last, and then was in Poland for my friend's wedding, and then I spent a night in Vienna just by myself at the end.
That's awesome, though. How was I don't want to say rank the places you went, but you went to three different places, and I would like to hear the rankings of them. Let's say solo travel. You're listening to this pod. You want to go on a trip by yourself.
Yeah.
How would you rank the places? What do you think is the best if you're traveling solo?
I think Vienna is probably my number one. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see myself living there.
Really? What city do you feel like it's closest to that you've been to?
Paris, probably.
Like a Paris?
Oh, yeah, nice. Like it gave me, and it doesn't look like Paris. Paris has a very distinctive look. It doesn't look like Paris, but it gave me the most, like, I could live here vibes. It's kind of hard to describe, but the only other place that I felt that besides New York is Paris.
Interesting. Does it also have, I don't know if this is a lame question, but I know Paris has a great public transit system. So you really feel like you can explore and go around. Does Vienna have the same thing or not so
Yes. Much? Yes. And that's not a lame question. I think that's huge. Like, it's like so when I travel, especially when I travel solo, I don't like to stay in the like main city center where the tourist sites are. I like to stay somewhere like where I was staying was still touristy for sure. But I like to stay where there's a higher concentration of restaurants and bars versus like sightseeing and then go to the sightseeing place and then leave. Like that's my vibe.
So yeah, I don't blame you. I felt this way in Amsterdam too. Easy to get around. You could like rent a bike if you wanted to, but it also had public trains if you wanted to explore outside of Amsterdam during the day and go see like the windmills and stuff like that.
Yeah. So it had an amazing, they call it the underground. It's like the U, amazing subway system that was really intuitive. So I took that from my hotel into the like city center. I was still staying in the main city, but like different districts. I just really loved Vienna. I was only there for a night, literally 24 hours less than. Definitely need to go back. Don't have the full picture of the city by any means within 24 hours, but it was awesome. I did rent a bike. I biked over to the like big palace they have there, scooted back.
Oh, they have like the subway everywhere. Scooters?
Yeah, they have Limes. Nice. Well, they have all sorts of different brands, but the like Lime is connected to Uber. So that was really, really fun. I loved Prague and Poland, though. Poland was like a whole different thing. The reason I'm saying the country, I'm aware that Poland is a country and Prague and Vienna are cities.
Yeah.
But so I was in Krakow for a night, but my main experience of Poland was in the countryside.
Because it was specific to their hometown for the wedding.
Right. It was my friend's wedding and they got married in his hometown village.
Okay. So it's also hard to compare because when I travel, something I like to do, if I can, is go to a small part like that where it's like, I am purely with locals. I'm just going to live how they live. However they live, I'm going to absorb it and I'm going to try to do it, you know? So it's a different experience though than going to a major city in Poland.
Yeah. And Krakow was amazing. I don't think I had any expectations of Poland. I don't think there was like anything in my mind that I had thought, oh, this is what Poland is going to be like. Mm-hmm. My friend has told lots of stories of like, he called his country, they call themselves Highlanders, of like his part of the country rather. So he's told a lot of stories about like his village and that kind of thing. But I just didn't have any expectations or anything in my mind about what Poland was going to be like or Krakow. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all three places you went are great. So pretty.
Yeah. I mean, Prague was incredible too. I don't want to sleep on Prague. It was awesome. In Prague, though, our Airbnb was in the like very, very center where all the touristy stuff is.
Was it near that big square? I don't know.
It was like right off the big square where the clock is, which mm-hmm. was great for accessibility, but it was a little overwhelming.
Okay. Fair to say. Because I didn't go. I saw Prague and Amsterdam in the same trip because they're pretty close to commute to. With my sister, she was studying abroad in London. So I met her over there and she's like, let's do a place we've never been. Loved both cities very much. But what was also nice is we didn't go in the summer. I went like October when she had like a fall break. So the plus side of that is very much low tourism during those
I can't explain to you how crowded the streets of Prague were. Like,
see, that's shocking to me. I was like, oh, it was so chill and empty when I went.
There were five of us traveling together. The only reason that we didn't get separated from the group is because we're tall.
It was like walking around New York. Like it was more like New York City crowded.
It was like you were in Times Square. It was like you were swimming through people.
Okay, that's a good note to have because I wouldn't have even thought to say that to people because I just wanted a different time.
And it was amazing. Okay. Like I loved it there and we had some incredible experiences and we went a little further outside of the little area we were staying in. But like I would probably just stay in a different neighborhood the next time I go.
Okay, good to know. But all three places, because I think we want to do an episode about this sometime of traveling solo for women.
Yes.
And tips and tricks and dating abroad as well. You felt very safe in all three. Like if you went away from your group, you were like, I'm fine. We're good.
Yeah, fully safe.
That's good to know.
The one thing that our Uber driver on our way in from the airport in Prague was telling us like Prague is an incredibly safe city, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing that he did say, and a few listeners wrote into this to me as well, is the taxis there are a scam. They're a scam.
That's a lot of places, though, if you don't ask. That's like my eyebrow debacle. You got to ask how much before you get in the car. Otherwise, you go to get out and they're suddenly like 100. I know it's not euros. I forget what it is there. But you know what I mean? Like $100. Yeah. And you're like, what? You're like, that was a 20-minute ride. They're like, yeah, it's $100. And then you're dealing with a language barrier and many other things. And yeah.
Yeah. So in any case, it was amazing. All the places. I would love to go back to Poland. It would be an incredible part of a honeymoon, like the part of Poland that we were in. It was gorgeous. So we stayed in this resort on a lake and it was just the most scenic thing. Our rooms were like quite literally on the lake. We were on like a floating dock.
Yeah, it looked beautiful.
It was insane. I didn't actually know that our rooms were going to be like this. Mm-hmm. I upgraded. It was like an extra, like, I want to say €40 potentially a night. It was called Lake View. Like, I had no idea. I thought we were just going to, like, be facing the other way.
Yeah, like, it was like an infinity pool with a lake is what it looked like to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was wild. Like, you're out on your balcony. You're just, like, on the lake. Like, a friend of ours went catamaraning one day and, like, catamaraned up to our room. We weren't home. Awesome. But she, like, sent us a picture being like, are you guys home? Because I'm at your balcony. I'm on a catamaran and I'm here.
Yeah. But you think, like, if you want a honeymoon that's, like, serene, chill time. Like, really just the two of you, not bothered by the world. That's the spot.
I think so. And it was extremely affordable. Like, for what we got, the resort was extremely affordable. Also, everything in the surrounding area is really affordable. It would be a good, like, adventure-type trip. Because although you get the, like, relaxing scenic thing, you're in the mountains. So we're talking hiking and you know, just a lot of, like, outdoorsy activities.
Yeah.
I loved it. The food is incredible. The people are super nice. It was just, it was awesome.
Nice.
The wedding was fucking 15 hours long.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. That's glad to see you're alive.
I barely. I like, my friend posted, you know, like a carousel post or whatever from the weekend. And she was like, what, like an amazing weekend of like R&R. And I'm like, were we on the same trip? Like there was no R or R.
Yeah.
Of like, no, nothing about that trip. It was an incredible trip. Nothing about it was restful or relaxing.
No, that was a marathon of a wedding.
Oh my God.
But hey, when else are you going to experience that? You know, I've never done one like that.
It was so, it was cool. And it was like really cool to see all of their traditions. It honestly made me like kind of jealous that like my culture doesn't have any traditions that are this cool for weddings. Like just all this stuff that was really fun. Like they, so we went from the church to the reception place and they hang back so that they're like, they enter the reception kind of like, you know, when like the DJ announces the couple coming in at like an American wedding. Right. But the way that they do it is they come like driving up in their car, they get out, there's like a there's like a band, like a Polish band playing, there's like a, it's like a polka, it sounds like a polka with like a accordion, whatever. Then they're handed glasses of champagne that are tied together. They drink the glasses of champagne, they throw them over their shoulders, and then they have to like sweep up the glass and they have to get like all the pieces of the glass.
Oh, is this supposed to be like a relationship metaphor?
Yeah.
Like when shit goes wrong, you have to.
Yeah, you're going to like together? Clean it up together.
I mean, I kind of just like this to be like, you're going to clean, right? To my
house. Yeah. But so I had like, I don't know. So like, that's just one small example, but there just were like several moments throughout the wedding where I'm like, wow, this is a really cool tradition. Like there's just so many cool traditions happening throughout this. It was very cool.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like American weddings are going away from traditions, you know, like we both said, what, we haven't seen a bridal toss in forever or a garter toss. And then the two people that catch them have to do the awkward, put it up the skirt thing, you know, all that stuff. I
hate that. Yeah. There was a bouquet toss, but it was different than any other bouquet toss I've been a part of.
What's the difference? Everybody's there?
No, it was just us single gals. And also a couple children.
Well, they count as single. They're not married.
A little weird. But basically, so the bride sits on a chair in the middle and her maid of honor covers her eyes. And everybody, all of the single women hold hands and like wrote. There's a song playing. I think I'm not sure if it's always this song, but there's a song playing and we're rotating around her. And we're rotating and rotating. And then when the song stops, she tosses the bouquet behind her and it's basically just like the person who happens to be behind her in the rotating.
Oh, okay. So it's almost like less dramatic, but similar concept.
Definitely less dramatic because there's no jockeying. It's like the person who's right there just catches it.
Yeah. Almost like a musical chair. Okay.
Yeah. 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 Got so it. But we did do that. But yeah,
does it mean the same thing? Like you're supposed to be the next to get married?
It does mean the same thing.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, nice. Nobody fought over it then.
No one fought over it. No. In fact, we had to like
fight. I've never seen a fight over it.
I've never seen a fight. There was someone, I think I mentioned this in our wedding episode with Rourke. I once was in a situation where a girl like jumped in front of me. What? Like I didn't have any interest in catching it. So I wasn't fighting her, but she did jump in front of me and then she dropped it, but whatever. So yeah, it was just like, it was so lovely. We apparently impressed his relatives, so that was a win. We were nervous. Apparently the DJ, because there was a DJ, there's an after party the next day. The after party is the next day. It's another full like American wedding length event.
Damn.
The next day. After the 15 hours. So the ceremony started at 3 p.m. and we walked out of the wedding reception at 4 a.m. and that was early. We left early.
God bless.
Yeah. And then the next day started at 4 p.m. and went until around midnight. And apparently the DJ was asking about us. He was like, are the American people going to be here again to dance?
Are they going to make it? Well, there you go. Good. You brought the party.
We did bring the party and taught him about Bad Bunny. So that was fun.
Oh, come on. Poland hasn't found out about Bad Bunny yet?
Yeah. Apparently not this DJ. Apparently not this DJ.
Oh, he's got to know.
Yeah. Now he knows.
Now he knows.
He learned.
Good.
Yeah, so we just like we had a great time and you know, I got a bunch of messages from people talking about like being alone at weddings, you know, not being there, you know, not having a plus one or not having a date at a wedding or whatever. And I think I didn't even really think about that in the best way.
Yeah.
Like it never felt like I was there by myself. And granted, I was in a big group of friends, but most of them are couples. Like almost all of them.
That's good. That's actually usually my bar. Not to say like a good couple versus a bad couple, but I think of certain couples, right, that I either know or I've been to their wedding. And like, I think if I was to make a speech, I think something I would say is you know, when I hang out with them, I do not feel like a third wheel.
Yeah.
And I see the true friendship between them and how also inclusive they are with other people around them. And like,
right.
I think what a beautiful relationship. And I think it's just, it is a great sign of like, quote, being with your best friend and, you know, being interactive with the group. I don't know how, another way to put it, but
no, I totally
we've all been around couples
you.
Where you're like, cool, you're bringing your boyfriend. So we're not going to talk at all, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, now that you mentioned that, it's funny. I was in the people I was in Prague with. I mentioned there were five of us, two couples and me. I never one time felt like the fifth wheel. Like it actually like didn't even occur to me that I was the only single person there. Like that it was that I was like somebody else could look in and say I was like crashing their double date kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
Not at all. Never felt that way. And I think that goes back to what you're saying about like those couples and how I, you know, feel around them versus some others that I've known in the past.
Right. I was going to say, do you feel like you'd also feel that way if you were in like the romantic city of Paris?
I think so. Just with this particular group, I think like there were definitely moments. I think weddings, generally, there are moments where like there's a slow song playing or I'm like, oh, like it would be nice to dance with someone right now. But there were other single people there. So we were just kind of like doing our own thing on the side. Yeah,
that's just when I go to the bathroom. I'm like,
yeah,
nice.
That works too.
Bathroom break.
Check.
A break for me.
Yeah, but I don't know. It was just really nice. And I think it like it really, again, like you said, solidified that I really appreciate having these people in my life where I don't feel, you know, on the outs or like a third, fifth, seventh wheel.
Yeah.
At all.
That is nice. I'm happy to hear it.
13th wheel, as the case may have been in this situation.
Right. So I have a little update from last week. So I talked about that date I went on. So I did not hear from this man. I ended up hearing from him a week later. So he texts me the same day that there is the chaotic singles party that night.
Yep.
And I was not going. I couldn't go. I had a show. But I got a text saying, hey, you know, I had a great time on the date. I would be down to go out again. And then said something like, oh, sorry, I didn't let you know that sooner. And then he offered to me that we could hang out Sunday if the weather permitted because of the hurricane.
I was dying laughing. So I listened to. So for those of you who are not on the Patreon, I was on vacation. So Erica very kindly offered to record with somebody else while I was gone. And you recorded with Rourke and I was listening to it on my way back and was dying. And you're like, you gave me hurricane day.
Literally, like, oh, I feel you're so excited to see me that you're picking a day that will most likely cancel.
I also, like, don't even like his initial, like, I'd be down to hang out again. Like,
it was very afterthought was the vibe.
Such an afterthought. And I like your theory. I assume you're going to go into your theory.
Yes. So I'm happy I knew the chaotic singles party was that night because my immediate thought was, I think he's only reaching out because he thinks he might run into me.
And, like, do you think that, like, it jogged his memory? Like, he was like, oh, shit.
I think it was a politician move where you're like, I want to be on good terms. I'll give this offer that, like, I don't think they'll accept. Not a very great offer. But covering my tracks in case I run into this person at this party.
Mm-hmm.
So when I responded, I, you know, did a nice little, I don't know if you call it, what, letdown text? I don't know. I don't like calling it a rejection text. That just feels mean. But just, hey, had a great, you know, I had a great time. Yeah. You know, to be honest, wasn't feeling
thanks,
the romantic
but no
connection
thanks.
I was looking for. You know, but, you know, thank you for taking me out. And he immediately said, oh, you know, thanks for being honest and letting me know. And then I added, yeah, you know, hey, maybe I'll see you at a chaotic singles party again. And immediately,
wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Immediately he responds with, oh, so funny you say that. I actually was just on my way there to the party tonight.
Oh, like, you don't say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trusted my instinct on it. But listen, no hard feelings, you know? But because, you know, most people just can't handle confrontation.
Yeah.
And not confrontation. Not even that it's confrontational. Just the thought of
disappointing someone or like telling someone something they don't want to hear.
Right. Being afraid of like, oh, I'll run into them. What do I say? You know, so, hey, I appreciate it. And then, I have another little update. So this, I'm not sure if I talked about on the Patreon. We did the little preview to catch up on updates. that I went to the frame store to get some stuff framed. And upon going there, I meet this guy. And turns out he used to work at Match.com.
So random.
Crazy. So I start talking to him about the podcast and stuff. And I was, you know, picking his brain like, oh, do you have any like access to some secrets from Match.com and online dating? And he said, yeah, that's actually why I left. Which is kind of sad to hear.
Yeah.
But, you know, dating apps are companies. And companies want to make money. So he called it dark data. And I asked, is it just things that they put behind a paywall that you're like, well, that's just annoying. You're using this to entice people to give you more money. And he said, that's exactly what it is. And yeah, the example he used is, you know, you pay to see all the people that have liked you. So instead of you sifting through the app, you could just go, who liked me? And I'll look through those first. Or use certain filters and things like that. So we're talking. It's a nice conversation. And he wrote down the name of our pod, by the way. So I don't know if you're listening right now.
Maybe. Hello, Framestore Man.
Hello, Framestore Man. I don't know if he is. But he wrote down the name of the pod. And I felt like there was a little bit of a flirty vibe. He asked me what my name was twice. I'm like, oh, okay, cute Framestore guy. So today, I went back to pick up my frames. And okay, I already told you, I was like, Framestore guy's there. I'm going to put out a little feeler. Why not?
Yes.
You know?
Love it.
Why not?
You also, didn't you follow him on Instagram?
Yes. So or his requested Instagram's him. Private. I found yeah. him. Sent him a request. It still has not been accepted. I think he has a total of like 30 posts.
Yeah. He might not even
not a big Instagram guy, whatever. So I was like, that was my first move to say, see what's going on. But also, I thought that was interesting. He like wrote down the name of our stuff, but didn't, like most people just go, what's your Instagram?
And then they would like type it in or whatever. Yeah.
Right. So I was like, I don't know. Is he into social media? Is he not? You know, did Match.com turn him off from the internet forever? I have no idea.
He doesn't have a phone anymore. He's like, so, oh my God.
I mean, talk about a 180. He's at a frame store now. Like,
very different life.
Don't know how you make that jump, but good for you. You know? So I go back, pick up my stuff. The woman that was helping me is there. She shows me my frames. I'm like, wow, these look great. Still mad about how much they cost, but it's fine. And
so, but everything looks good. You like it?
Everything looks good. So okay, I do not see Framestore Man. And then there's another employee that was not there when I was there. So then I get a little nervous because it's a small store and you could definitely hear me if I ask her about the guy.
And the other person's there.
Some other person's there that I have not met.
Yeah.
So, which I don't know why I'm so worried about my reputation. Not like I'm coming to the frame store. Week, you know, it's not like it's the grocery store. I'm like, oh God, I'm going to have to run into them. How embarrassing. But I just like felt a little embarrassed. I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know. So,
I mean, I get that. Move. I feel that anytime that I'm supposed to walk up to someone.
Right. So this is the move I think of. Not really a move, but you know, I had three frames. So I said, oh, do you mind helping me carry some of this to my car? And she was like, oh my gosh, of course.
Brilliant.
So I get the girl out of the frame store and I'm like, we can have a little quick girl talk.
We have a little girl talk in the parking lot.
And by little girl talk, I just get to the chase very quickly. and I just said, I got to ask you, you know, last time I was in, the guy I was talking to, do you know what his deal is? And she said his name. And I was like, yeah. You know, that worked at Match.com. Blah,
that
blah.
One, frame store guy.
Come yes. on. And she was like, oh, yeah. She's like, unfortunately, he's, taken. And then I said, oh, okay. I said, do you know? I said, not that this matters, but just making conversation. I said, oh, yeah, I wasn't sure if he was married because I didn't see a ring. And I felt awkward, like, asking in front of everybody if he was single when I was talking to him. And she said, no, he's not married, but she's like, but he's, like, been with somebody a very long time, et cetera, et cetera. And I was like, okay, good to know. I was like, I'm very glad I asked you and did not embarrass myself in front of everybody. And she immediately laughed and she was like, I know. She goes, it's unfortunate. He is very cute and he's also very nice. And I was like, yeah, I got a nice vibe.
Very cute, very nice. Check, check.
Thought he was very cute, very nice. And if you know any other frame stores that you can direct me to, I will gladly, gladly knock.
I like your hiring processes. So please let me know.
Right. But I don't know. I still felt, it just still felt more exciting to me than online dating to be like, yeah.
I love cute that. Man.
Why not? Why not? Why not go for it? So.
I'm
obviously,
proud of
I'm not going to like DM this man or anything.
No, of course
he's
not.
Taken.
Are you going to save him in your men folder?
No. Well, also you, okay. The technicality of the man folder is you can't, if their profile is private.
Oh,
I can't find a post to save, but no, I'm not going to save that in the folder. That's fine. If anything, I'm like, should I just like remove my request?
Does that, I don't think so.
I don't know fine. If they still see that you requested it if you remove it, you know?
I don't think they do, but I also don't think it matters that you requested him.
Yeah, not really. Oh, well. Maybe he'll connect us to someone at Match.com we could do an interview with or something.
There you go.
But, yeah, I tried. I did what I could.
I love it. I'm very impressed, as always, by your in-person moves. I'm like already preparing myself to channel you this weekend at camp.
Oh yeah, I forgot. You have the camp this weekend.
I'm going to camp. And I'm already panicked about what I'm gonna bring to wear.
Oh, really?
There's two theme nights. I've been like looking at like videos from last year to try to understand like what are people wearing. I don't know.
You'll I'm nervous it out. About I was it. Gonna say for like the outdoor stuff and the little active stuff, I'm like, you always have like cute little athletic like matching sets that I think are really cute.
Thanks.
I'll just throw one of those.
Yeah, in. I'm gonna go in that, something in that realm. I don't know. I'm just gotta there's like a white party on Friday. So I was like trying to be like how I mean, obviously people aren't fancy, they're camp, but like I'm thinking my white traveler dress, my Abercrombie traveler dress.
Very cute.
Would be good for that vibe. And then the second night is tropical theme. And so I ordered, it just came. I haven't unpacked it yet. I ordered two Rent the Runway top options
do with like
jean
print.
Shorts. Yeah, one of them's like an open, like a camp, literally a camp shirt, like a button down tropical print.
Oh, fun.
That I thought maybe I could wear like a bathing suit top underneath.
Okay.
And then the other one is like more of a crop top, like tropical print crop top.
Very cute. I was going to say, you probably already have stuff that could fit this theme. I'm not so much a color person in my wardrobe that I definitely would need to rent something.
Yeah. So,
okay. So I have a question. Do you know how many people total are going? Is it like 100 people?
Zero clue.
Okay. Can I give you a goal for the weekend?
Oh God. Okay.
Okay. It's two full days, two nights?
Yeah. So I get down there Friday night, depending on when I get out of work, and leave on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. I'm going to give you a goal of...
Oh, I'm nervous already.
No, don't be nervous. I think this is a very reasonable goal.
Okay.
So obviously there's more... We assume there's probably more women than men going. And women, easier to approach and speak to for the first time. I'm going to give you a goal. I want you to talk to 10 women that you've never met.
Oh, easy. That's easy.
Okay. And 5 men that you've never met.
Oh, no.
But initiate the conversation.
Oh, God.
That's not that many.
That's going to be harder. Okay.
Okay. And if they're in a group of 2, we can count it as 2. Any
Great.
More than 2 does not count as 5. Okay? You're not going to get some
fucking
loophole.
Just walked up to a group of 5 dudes.
No. Yeah. I was like, Wait. You're not going to take some loophole and approach a team of 5 and go, hey, I'm Allie, and walk away and they're like,
run
it.
Away.
Did it. Yeah.
Okay. Women, I don't even need to give my goal for myself for women, because women, I will talk to probably 50 people. Like that's
Well, easy. Count it. It's a competition now.
Oh God.
My minimum was 10. Should I make it 10 men? This sounds rude.
No.
I assume there's at least 10 men going, but I was trying to pick a number.
Oh my God.
I know it's more scary than for you. Okay. So I think it's fun to give you a little goal. You know?
Well, yeah. Well, I'll focus on the men goal. Okay. 5 men. I think I can do it.
5 men. Okay. Just initiate conversation. Talk to them. And at some point you have to introduce yourself. I'm Allie, by the way. What's your name? Nice to meet you.
Got it. So I need to get 5 people's names, basically, is the thing.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Got it.
You don't get to just be like, oh, that looks delicious, and walk away.
Bye.
I'm gonna make you have a conversation.
Okay.
It's good practice.
I totally agree with you. It's pushing me out of my comfort zone, which is not a bad thing. I'm preparing myself now. I'm glad we had this conversation on Tuesday.
Hey, you could how about you could throw some of them these hypotheticals that we're gonna talk about today.
Oh God. Maybe. Yeah, okay. So I'm preparing myself for camp. I'm ready. I also, this is like random and apropos of nothing, but I have a fun little thing that Rourke had sent us, actually.
Oh, the AI thing.
Yes. So Rourke had sent us this thing called Text From My Ex, where basically this woman on TikTok, and we'll put the info in the show notes, but it's textfrommyex.com. That's all
Wait,
the info.
Didn't
you
go to like Stanford? It was like a senior project, wasn't it?
It was like a I forget exactly what the where the
she's an engineering student, I believe.
The genesis of it, yeah. But it was an engineering project where she developed this basically AI tool to analyze all of her text messages with her ex-boyfriend and like ask the AI like what went wrong, essentially, or like analyze our relationship.
Yeah, like where did it take a turn in communication patterns?
Yes.
Which we've all felt that before. So this AI was essentially invented for us to go, am I crazy? And the AI said no.
What happened?
Exactly November 3rd, 2022, that thing started to turn south.
So you can now upload to textmyx.com. You can now upload conversations with exes, and this AI tool will do this analysis for you. And it's more complicated for iMessage because you have to like do a lot of different exporting or whatever. But WhatsApp conversations are extremely easy to export and upload. Like you could just press a button and it will just export. And WhatsApp is how I communicated with the publicist.
Yes.
So when Rourke sent us this and you and I were like, oh shit, like all of our conversations are in iMessage, I was like, wait a minute, one of mine's not.
So what was the synopsis?
So it said, so it's interesting. So it like breaks it down into different categories and it gives you a score out of 10 on each category.
Okay.
And in some places it like totally nails it. Other places it gets a little confused. Cause like,
yeah, because an example they said is, you know, someone uploaded a conversation with their mom and they were like, oh, your communication is good, but there's really no like your romance level was low. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, I'm not sexting with my mother. So,
yeah,
you know,
so I'll go through. So attachment styles, 7 out of 10. It says the attachment style here is generally secure with a twist of independence. You both have lives outside the relationship, yet manage to stay connected.
Okay. So it must like scan for topic talk.
Yes, but it does pick up on places where I'm trying to keep the connection alive and the publicist is a bit too consumed by his work.
Oh, it picked up and on then, that.
Yeah, it says maybe spend a bit more time nurturing the relationship, publicist.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's when his work started to get crazy. And like I picked up on that. I remember when I was like talking about that stuff. Communication, though, 9 out of 10. It says you make time to talk about your day and your feelings, actively taking interest in each other's activities.
Nice.
So that's great. This I thought was interesting, and this is one of the things where it nails it. Sexiness, 5 out of 10.
Okay, so how do you feel like that nails it? Of like, because you never felt you were like romantic and cutesy in that way, or?
Because I don't think that we like connected in that way, especially via text, which I got into like a little bit more on the Patreon. But like, okay. I just never thought. So it says 5 out of 10. It says, while you can attribute the lack of steaminess to the long distance, because it thought we were long distance. This is another place where it gets confused because I was traveling.
Okay. Yeah, that makes
so
sense.
So it thinks we're in a long distance relationship.
So it must pick up on when you're making plans and seeing each other.
Yes.
And uses that to calculate like when things went wrong, quote unquote.
I think so. But then it thinks we're in a long distance relationship because it knows I'm in Greece.
Yes.
So it shows a couple exchanges where like I was trying to be a little sexier and
wait, it gives you like screenshots of sections?
Oh yeah.
And points it out. Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's not screenshots, it's like text. So it'll say like Allie, and then it'll say what I said, and then it'll say his name, and then it'll say what he said. So it's not a screenshot, but it's like the text of what it is. And so it gives examples of why it's giving you that score. And
this
so
it's just
shows...
very interesting because you and I both are people that will screenshot conversations to save for ourselves for sentimental value.
Yeah.
And I definitely have when I'm being like, I guess in the honeymoon phase, what people will call it.
Yeah.
That I have little screenshots of those nice moments. That it would be very interesting to see if anything it picks up, if I cross-referenced, was like, oh yeah, that is when the times were good. And I look back at the date like,
oh,
yes,
yeah,
accurate.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That is correct.
It's like,
yeah.
Sorry, what else was
so
there?
Just like a couple things where like, a couple examples where like I said something or like sent him a photo that was like, maybe it was sexy or I was like trying to be flirty and he like didn't quite pick up what I was putting down.
But the AI picked up on it?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so then it says
I feel like
highlights.
I might be offended by that part. I'll be like, that was not me being sexy. Okay, I'll show you sexy, you little AI.
I'll show upload a different you conversation. Sexy.
Yeah.
No, this it accurately picked up on it. It did say that we both seem to enjoy the small joys in life and we're good humored. And like it included a couple little moments that show that we're like playful, etc. Okay, so here's where the AI starts to go a little bit wrong, or like things where it like doesn't quite pick up on something. So when I was in Greece, he was supposed to go to the Dave Matthews concert when all of that smoke was happening in New York.
Right.
Right. I texted him saying, what's the latest on Dave? Is it still happening? And he wrote back and like was kind of like vague about it because he didn't know. AI thinks that I'm asking about a date. Like the AI thinks that I'm asking him if we're still going out and he gives me a vague answer.
Okay. So some bugs.
Some bugs, right? Like
pretty
it's a computer
overall.
Yeah, like yeah. But that's like just
– how would you rank?
Yeah, that's just like an example of like that isn't what was happening there. But yeah, overall, I think pretty accurate. I mean, it basically – the like summary of our relationship was that we had really good conversation – or excuse me, really good communication and that we were very playful – and connected with each other, but lacked a little bit of sexiness. And overall, I think that's a pretty good assessment of the situation.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, in general, I hope you don't take offense to this, but you're not really like someone that like sexts. You know what I mean? You're not a big sexter. I feel like with anybody
you date. No, but I think that being on the same page in terms of like when we're being flirtier is what it was picking up on. Because okay. I've definitely been more of a sexter with other people.
Yeah, fair. Okay.
And like also just I think the reciprocation. It's like I think what it did a good job of picking up on is like tone differences. Where like one person is putting one thing out and the other person is sending a different thing back.
So one thing I'd be curious to do is to upload a conversation with someone that you felt your communication was not good or you were frustrated with. And see what it picks up on. Because I feel like that type of relationship when it ends is the relationship that I personally would think, I want to upload this shit into this program and almost validate my own feelings. Where you think to yourself, am I crazy? Was I crazy for feeling like they were pulling away? Whatever, whatever. And to see it pick out specific things of, like, I'm very, very curious if they would be like, during this period, you were texting them more than they were texting you. And I don't know if it also gets time involved, if it knows the time that the texts come back and forth. Because I feel like that would be very telling of like, you were sending on average 200 character messages. You were receiving back only 10 character replies.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And this much time later, however, beginning of relationship, you were, you know, both on average 100 characters each and the time in between messages was only, you know, minutes and then it turned into hours. I feel like it has to be able to pick up on that.
I totally agree with you. It doesn't, I actually, that's maybe a good like update or suggestion for Text from My Ex 2.0 because to give like stats like that.
Yeah, but I'm saying like, I wonder if it does. I don't know.
Oh, like
if you uploaded any other conversations to reference where you're like, I felt the communication was bad. Let me upload this one and see what it says.
I did.
What it say? Wait, also with, I don't know if you mind sharing with who.
I did the disco ball.
Oh, what it say?
So, and that's where I'm thinking like, I wish that I could see more stats because all of the feedback is subjective. Like it doesn't like give you, like you're saying, characters or length of time or like anything like that. But that would be cool.
I felt like it would.
Yeah.
Okay. It still tries to pinpoint where they think things shifted though.
I don't know if it's pinpointing where things shifted. At least the two that I uploaded, it doesn't. Okay. It more assesses the overall conversation. It doesn't, at least the two that I uploaded, it doesn't talk about like at this point. It more gives like the overall vibe. But the thing, so overall, it actually gave the Disco Ball and I a very high rating. It was 7 out of 10.
And what was Publicist? Which, 9?
9. I was expecting Disco Ball to be much lower than that. Just based on like the like shitty communication more so towards the end.
Well, I would think the amount would be telling. Publicist was talking to you every day.
Yes.
You know? So like that part alone I would think would be a factor, but maybe it isn't.
You would think. But this is the part that I thought was really interesting. So it's in the communication thing. It gave us a 7 out of 10 in communication, which is, I think, too high. But this is the notes that it gave. It said communication looks to be of decent quality, but there could be some improvement in consistency and the balance of sharing personal stories. It gives an example that I won't share, but it gives an example. And then it says, you were being intimate and sharing how you were feeling, and they completely ignored it and moved on to a joke.
Wow. No fucking way. It picked that up?
Yeah.
And would you say that's 100% right, what it said?
Not 100, but it's in the right.
What I said was being more vulnerable, and it was kind of pushed to the side and ignored a little bit.
Yeah. Something like that. A little bit. Yeah. Not quite as they make it sound like way worse.
Yeah.
But like generally, yeah.
Wow.
Interestingly, here sexiness is really high. So I'm just saying, well, I could be sexy.
I didn't say you couldn't, okay? Also, it's a computer judging you on sexiness, all right? So, like I said, if the computer said I wasn't sexy, I'd be like, what do
fuck
I got to do?
Computer.
What do I got to do? You don't know shit. Who have you fucked, computer? Nobody.
Who have you fucked?
When's the last time you got laid, you fucking artificial intelligence bitch?
Perfect. But yeah, but overall, so basically then it said the like last thing is it just basically talks about the like what's the word I'm looking for? Like our communication is not synced up. I can't think of the word I'm looking for right now. The one thing that I did think was really funny is that I accidentally the main thing that it said is that we need to stop miscommunicating. And the example that it gave was I accidentally sent him a text that was meant for my boss.
Oh.
And like I was texting with both of them and I just sent him the thing. And so then I said, oh shit, oops, that was for insert name of my boss. And it like talked about that in the synopsis. And it was like, he's always going to be wondering who X is.
Oh, almost like it's another man you're dating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if it was a male name, I assume.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay. Exactly. And I'm like, no, computer, that one was fine.
Okay. This is so interesting, though, overall.
It is really interesting. And that one's like I said, iMessage was more annoying, so I only did that one. But it was just fun and interesting to go back, especially to a conversation that happened over a year ago at this point.
Right.
And like look back and be like, oh, yeah, like those, because it talks about cute moments. I'm like, oh, yeah, like those were some really cute exchanges. But oh, yeah, I was really frustrated by like lack of consistency in communication. And like just kind of like hearing that or seeing that and having it validated was cool.
Yeah, I think anybody would want to upload two people they felt were opposites.
Yeah.
Opposite experiences that they had and see just the differences. And I think a lot of times you would find it just validating to your own feelings.
Yeah. So. I was nervous that it was going to hurt my feelings doing the disco ball.
Well, yeah.
But it didn't. That it actually sense. Like was. Yeah. But I was worried that it was going to like, yeah, hurt my feelings or be like, oh, yeah, he like didn't like me very much. But actually, it validated my feelings of like, OK, there was a lot of good there. But ultimately, that lack of consistency and bad communication was never going to work. But like, it actually was kind of nice to see those cute moments and to be like, okay, yes, like these, like I wasn't crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. Have you ever? This happened to me in college with iPhones. You know, you get a new iPhone and you update your stuff to the cloud, whatever. So I remember in college, I like broke my phone. I got a new phone. And the last time I had backed up my phone was from a few months prior. So when I opened the new phone, uploaded everything, the conversations all were from a few months ago.
Oh, yeah.
And there was someone I was dating at the time that I then later stopped seeing. But our messages were at the forefront, and he was one of my top messages because I would talk to him all the time. And I opened them, and I'll never forget reading them and being like so mad that I was so nice to this man because he eventually broke up with me. And I remember being like, oh, look how soft you were being. Look how cute and soft you were being. He didn't deserve any of this. How dare he? You know, like I was just like, damn, it was all the window into the honeymoon good time. And I was like, oh, oh, I can't believe I was that nice to that asshole, you know?
Yeah. It was nice to see both, right? Like to have the cute moments in there, but then also be like, oh yeah, but then like this other thing happened.
Right. Exactly. But
so
anyway,
so yeah, that was my little update since I've been out of town. So I don't have any like actual dating updates, but hopefully the next time we record, I will have been to camp and I will have hopefully an update on my 5-person goal.
You'll have 5 phone numbers and potential dates.
No, excuse me.
Manifested.
Hold on. Oh, you're manifesting.
That's not what the goal is, but manifested. Okay. I'm just giving you the entry into the door, baby.
We can manifest that for sure. That's, I am all about that.
Yeah,
feel...
you got to make out with 3 guys at camp. get the childhood experience you did not have.
Oh my God.
I'm kidding. That was my goal when I went to camp. That probably shows I've just been bold from day one. I was like, what? I was like 12. And I wasn't like, I'm going to talk to 5 boys. I was like, I am going to make out with somebody. It's happening. It is time.
Oh, man. Yeah. That was not my camp vibe, but I am ready. I am ready to give my name to 5 people.
Yeah. You can do it. You can do it. It'll work out. I'm excited.
I think
for this
so. I'm pumped. I'll keep you posted and everybody else. So I've been talking a bunch about how I'm trying to order in less. And part of that is that I'm cooking at home more. But when I don't have time to cook, which is more often than not, I have really still been loving Factor's meals that are ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Yeah, and they have so many options too. Every week, their menu, they have 35 options that you can pick from. So you can find whatever it is that you're looking for. It's so easy. It's no fuss and no mess.
It's so great. And I've also been really enjoying their add-ons that they have. So they have breakfast. They have on-the-go lunches if you don't work from home. I've been ordering their snacks recently to have like a little pick-me-up in the afternoon. And I've really been enjoying that.
Yeah. And they also are celebrating Earth Day all month. You can look for their Earth Month Eats badge on their menu. And that will be meals that have the lowest carbon footprint. So shout out to Factor for that one.
It's pretty cool. So you can head to factormeals.com/FMH50 and use code FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code FMH50 at factormeals.com/FMH50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Okay, so our topic today. A little bit of a fun one that I feel like I'll be curious to hear how the listeners like this idea. We have put together some dating/relationship hypotheticals.
I'm excited. I'm especially excited because my friends and I happened to be doing this at the wedding that I was at. Because it was just, we had to do something to keep ourselves awake. And so we just started doing this and everybody had to like do thumbs up or thumbs down for the different choices. It was very fun. So I'm excited to do it with you. So we took a bunch of submissions from the listeners. We're going to talk about a bunch of them and debate them between us. But we also decided to post 3 of them to our stories so that we could have live results.
So first one. Would you rather not get along with your partner's friends or your partner's family?
I was pretty surprised at the results from my followers on this one.
Really? We might be opposite then. What'd yours say?
Mine was really close. It was 53% friends and 47% family.
Mine was 56% friends, 44% family. So were you surprised you thought the majority would pick family?
No, I thought the majority, more of the majority would pick friends.
I think this is a hard one because all you think is, well, if they get along with my family, I would think they'd get along with my friends and vice versa.
Yeah, I agree, but that's coming from both of our frameworks that we get along with our family.
Yeah, understandably, right? But I guess, all right, maybe this comes into play. People usually are either exactly like most of their family or the complete opposite. So that also comes into play, right? That like, truly, it's very hard for me to think someone I get along with like and am in love with would not get along with like my brother and sister.
I totally agree. For me, like there's pretty much no way. Like that would be a major red flag to me if someone didn't get along with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think I would be friends with my brother even if he weren't my brother.
Yeah, I consider my brother and sister some of my closest friends. Yes.
Yeah.
So this one feels a little intertwined for me, but yeah.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people don't necessarily feel that way. When I was thinking about this, if I had to pick, if I was like, okay, because it's the would you rather, right? So if I had to pick, I'm either going to get along with his friends or his family. I'm like, he picked his friends. He did not pick his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would actually be really concerned if the person that I was dating has selected to be friends with exclusively people I don't get along with. I'm like, what am I missing about him that he likes all of these people that I think are awful?
Yeah, that's why this one's very depends on how you look at it. Because I believe the saying, like, birds of a feather flock together. And yeah. If you're dating a guy and you meet his friends and you don't like something about his friends and you think, my guy's not like that, the truth is he is.
Yes, he is.
He is, right? Like, apple's not fallen far from the tree in that sense.
Yeah.
So I totally get what you're saying, where it's like, okay, if I was dating someone, I don't like any of their friends, any of them.
Any of them.
You're like, there's something about my guy that I'm not seeing.
Exactly.
Right? So I get that. However, I think another factor that comes in. Not only are people close to their families, but do they live close to their families? So you don't live close to your families. So if you pick family over friends, you're in a very interesting situation that, well, who are you around more frequently? Your friends.
That's a major factor.
And if you stay in New York City, it's going to be your friends. So when I look at my future, even though I'm living in LA right now, I can't imagine a year where I still don't see my family pretty frequently.
Yeah.
That I just think of those times. And also when those times happen, when I really have my partner, they're going to be with me. But when I hang out with my friends, I do that by myself already. Like I can leave the partner behind.
That's interesting because that's the opposite question, right? So I think because the question we posed was like, would you rather get along with your partner's friends or your partner's family? Do you think the answer is the same the other way?
I misinterpreted it. I thought it was, would you rather have your partner not get along with your friends or your family? I thought that's what it said.
But I'm curious now if we think the answer is the same both ways.
I say the same thing both ways. I think family is more important to get along with. But I come from a very big, tight-knit family. And essentially when I'm thinking like future and having children specifically, your life does change. And you tend to be with more people that are doing that as well. And when I have kids, now they're my priority. And my second priority is like, I want them to be close to the family. So I'm going to try to be with my family as much as I can. So thought that they don't get along, I think is way worse than friends that don't get along. And here's the other part. My family will fucking say something if they don't like who I'm with. My friends, I don't think they'd have the guts to bring it up. They'd just be like, well, that's who she picked. And, you know, so be it.
Yeah, because I don't think my answer is the same. So the question we asked was like, would you rather not get along with your partner's friends or your partner's family? And I think then I'm choosing, I'd rather not get along with their family. Like, I'd rather get along with their friends. Because I think...
But if you base it on that argument of they're more likely to be like their friends and their family, I don't necessarily agree.
Well, because I think that if I don't get along with their friends, then I shouldn't be dating them.
That's why this is hard. This is so hard.
Well, it is hard.
Go family, personally.
But I think the other way, I agree with you. If I had to pick the other way, if I had to pick, would I rather my partner not get along with my friends or my family?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm picking family I'm picking friends in that scenario. I would rather my partner get along with my family.
I pick family for both because I think in both cases, I can stay home and not go hang out with the friends and he can stay home and not hang out with the friends. And nobody's when I show up, they're not going to be like, why isn't he here? Why didn't you bring him? Especially if they don't fucking like him. So I'll take the friends not liking him because they'll be excited I left him at home, right? Your family, I stop bringing my husband around. They're like, what the fuck's wrong with your husband? Why isn't he here with you? Even if they hated him, they'd be like, that's fucked up that he didn't come. You know, family, it's more important that they come with you. It's like a big, almost like sign of respect too. I don't know how to like explain it exactly, but I feel like I would have more questions to answer to if it was the family. So I'll go family both scenarios.
Yeah. Oh, it's a hard one though. Cause like, fuck, both of those things would suck.
Right. you know.
That's why we have a would you rather.
It's a hypothetical.
Okay. The next one. This is one of the ones that I did with my friends at the wedding. Would you rather win the lottery or find your soulmate?
I personally say soulmate. My followers were 59% said soulmate, 41% lottery.
Yeah, I had a similar split, 38 lottery, 62 soulmate. I said lottery at the wedding. I stand by it.
I was
going
to say, I saw you said lottery at the wedding.
I said lottery. This is why. I do not believe in soulmates.
Okay, Allie.
I don't.
Soulmates of the idea that there's only one person meant for you.
Exactly.
That you could make it work with. I don't either.
But that's what the question is.
But the question is, do you want to meet one of those people?
That's not how I interpret the question.
You think it's like, if I say no to soulmate, I'll just meet a different soulmate.
Not a different soulmate. I think that you can make it work with a lot of compatible people. So I'm not interpreting this question to mean win the lottery or be alone forever.
I think that's how most people kind of take it. It's really finding the love of their life. Put it that way. The love of your life. Truly in
that's
love.
That's not how the question was written. So that's why I answered lottery.
Well, we're debating what does soulmate mean to you? Does it mean there's only one freaking person? So you're looking at it like, oh, meet either this one man or the lottery. I looked at it as like just someone that you're going to absolutely be in love with. Because I think an interesting caveat to add would be, let's not say soulmate. Mm-hmm. Find your person you will be with the rest of your life versus win the lottery. Does your vote change?
So taking away the phrase your person. So like, are you saying that if I pick lottery, then I will not have a long-term partner for the rest of my life?
I think that's the gamble you take, right? I don't know how to...
Is that what you're saying, though? I'm asking.
I think that's what's implied. It's like, do you want to meet someone that you'll be with the rest of your life, in love, found your person? You have the option to find that person or the lottery.
I don't think that's what the question was implying. But if you're saying that you're now asking, like, win the lottery or, like, find a long-term partner, then I would absolutely pick find a long-term partner. But I don't think... I did not interpret the question in the same way that you did.
I think that's how most people interpret it. It's basically like, you know, we're two single gals. It's like, if I could introduce you tomorrow to your husband, would you want to meet him? And I'm like, absolutely, fuck the lotto. Like, that's how I looked at it.
I think that's a different question. But that's why these questions are fun, because we all interpret it differently. Look at it
because you can make the argument here, right? You could find your soulmate, however you want to call it. Soulmate, your husband. We could even say this. You could find your husband, and there's no caveat here that it works out forever, right? So that's
absolutely
the game. You can find the husband. You can find the soulmate. Say you find him, and then you break up one day, right?
Yeah.
If you think in that time frame, everybody's like, "Wow." Then in that case, just take the money, because divorce is expensive. interesting. A lot of people I saw on your story were like, "How big is the lotto pot, though?"
Well, that matters too.
Because how funny would it be if, like, say the scenario was real and you pick lotto and they give you a scratch off ticket and you win $20. You technically won the lotto. $20.
It definitely does matter how big the jackpot is. But I think that you brought up a good point that I was also thinking about, because we debated this a ton in my friend group when we were, again, trying to stay awake. And one of the things that we talked about is finding your soulmate does not mean that you are going to be together and happy for the rest of your life. And if that was the option, I'm picking that every time.
Okay. I guess for me, I wonder if this would change for you. I think the way to simplify my interpretation is, would you rather find true love or win the lottery?
How long do you get to have that true love for?
Doesn't matter. You get to find true love. It's something that I have never experienced. And I also feel like it's something that no matter how hard I work, I'm not guaranteed to experience it.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Money is something I look at and say, I can always make more money. I can always hustle. I can always work harder. Like, money is going to keep coming. It is going to come and it's going to go. And the same thing with love. It'll come and it'll go. However, I have never experienced true love. So it's like, here's the opportunity to experience true love. I don't know if it's going to end with my heart being absolutely broken or me marrying that guy. I still think I'd pick love. I still think I'd pick it, because I feel like
I love that.
It's not a tangible thing I can work towards, unfortunately. You know, I wish it was, but.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
You know, because, like, even if I never win the lottery, I could still buy a house someday. Maybe it won't be a fucking mansion, but there's like things in place like a mortgage that it's like, oh, I can be able to have a nice house even if I don't have all the cash on hand. How do I get someone to live in the house with me? I do not have the answer. I don't have the fucking answer for that question.
Yeah, I mean, if the option is like that I'm going to like be in love and be happy for the rest of my life, or even for a significant portion, doesn't have to be until the very day I die. But like, if that's the option, absolutely going with that.
See, but it's like you just found some loophole. You go, soulmates don't exist. So the other option doesn't even exist. You know what I mean? I feel like that's a little bullshit to the hypothetical game.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the idea is to talk about, is to like debate the definitions of what each of those things are. Like similarly, when we were talking about friends or family, where you're like, oh, well, your family is people you want to be friends with. That's not true for everyone. So like the definitions of the two things are different, I think, for different people.
I get that. I'm just saying I think the people that picked lottery didn't have the reasoning you just said, where they go, well, soulmates don't exist, so lotto. I think they just were like, true love or lotto, I'm going to go with the lotto. Because maybe they think money is like a more thing they can control once, like when you have it. Whereas like when you have a partner, you have a boyfriend, you have a girlfriend, a husband, whatever you want to fucking call them, you still can't control that other person if they wanted to leave one day. So I don't know. Anyway, still an interesting question.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, next one. This is a classic one. I feel like everybody's asked this question, right? What if your partner cheated one time and it will never happen again? Would you want to know? This one is by a hair on mine.
Oh, really? Mine's pretty solid.
Mine is only by 2%. People said yes. 2% more said yes. 51% total. 49% said no. They would not want to know.
I'm shocked. Mine is 60-40. Yes.
Really? You were shocked at the results or that mine are low?
No, I was shocked that it was like that solidly in the yes camp.
What did you say? What do you say to this question?
I wouldn't want to know.
I wouldn't want to know either. Why would I take pain that I didn't need to have?
And the I agree with you, but with the caveat, like the question, the part of the question that says it will never happen again is extremely important. Like that, it is a guarantee that it is never, ever, ever going to happen again. Then I don't want to know. But like that part is so important.
Yeah, I don't want to know. And also, even the cheated, I don't want to know the details of the cheated. I don't want to know if it's a kiss. I don't want to know if it was an emotional cheating. I don't want to know if it was sex. I want to know fucking nothing. It's never going to happen again.
It's never going to happen again.
Because if I truly believed it would never happen again, if I got cheated on with somebody, I would be more likely to consider staying with them. But that's very hard for me to say, and I can't guarantee that. Because I truly, cheating is, I think, one of my ultimate deal breakers. I don't think I could ever really trust them again and like forgive them. Yeah, I think I could forgive, but I could not trust. I'd be the girl looking through your phone. Right?
And that's why I've never been in the situation, so I don't know for a fact how I would react. But like I really think it would be hard for me to trust that person again, which is why if we're in a scenario where we can guarantee that it would never happen again, which obviously is not real life, and that could never actually happen. Mm-hmm. But if we could see the future and know it was never going to happen again, then no, I don't want to know.
Right.
Also,
I just feel like there's a little bit of ignorance is bliss. You know what I mean? I'm not saying people deserve to get cheated on. That's not at all what I'm saying. But like, you know, something that wasn't added in, but never would happen again. I indirectly feel like, okay, I'm looking at it in my head of like, it's my person and we're together forever.
Yes.
And I don't have to go through a breakup with like the love of my life.
Things are going to work out.
Feel this betrayal.
Like we're going to be happy forever and it'll never happen again. And I would also like to add a caveat that nobody else knows either.
Oh, yeah. That.
Like what if all my friends know my person cheated on me?
But I feel like if you have no idea it ever happened and would never find out, there's no way they would know.
Yeah, true.
That's what's going to tip you off. Other people knowing. Or picking up something's fishy, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. I have kind of an inverse to that someone submitted.
Okay.
If you could cheat one time with no consequences, so in other words, your partner never finds out, would you?
As a general thing, no.
Yeah, me either.
Now, if you said, if you could cheat was your celebrity crush, the person you find the most attractive in the world. Not even celebrity. Let's just say the hottest person you've ever met in your life. You get to cheat with. No one would ever find out. Your partner would never find out. Maybe I would be tempted. But I don't think I would. I really love who my partner is. I've never had an urge to cheat. So it's hard for me to understand people that do.
I think I would still be a no. Because if I'm going to say yes, then I feel like I shouldn't be dating that person.
Well, that's exactly how I feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Which has happened to me before where I've like realized like, oh, I shouldn't be dating this person because I want to hook up with other people.
Yes.
That's a problem.
I've had that. I was like flirting with a boy at a party and he gave me a ride home and I was like talking in my driveway. Nothing happened. And I'll never forget walking into my house and I had a boyfriend at the time. And my mom, I guess, took note of like how long I was in the driveway talking to this boy. And she recognized the car. She knew who it was. And I come in and she just immediately was like, you know, Erica, if you don't like Spencer anymore, you should just break up with him. And I was like, wow, okay. I go, I didn't do anything. She goes, I know you didn't do anything. She goes, but I could tell you're flirting with somebody else. So she was like, she said, don't be that girl that like you line up something, like you fully line it up before you end a relationship. She was like, if you don't have feelings for this person anymore and you have the desire to be with other people, she goes, go be with other people. You're young. Who cares? But I just was like, damn. Okay.
I remember my senior year of high school, I dated a guy for like 4 or 5 months my senior year of high school. And I went to visit Penn for the like admit weekend or whatever when they like invite all the people who, you know, we'll talk about. And you stay in the dorms, et cetera. And I was staying with who eventually became my freshman year roommate and like best friend for much of college. And we went out one night together and we met these boys. And I was so into this one guy who was from Paris. And I already like spoke French at the time. And I was like enamored with him. And I had decided in my little 17-year-old head that I was going to make out with him that night.
Mm.
I had a boyfriend at home and I had decided that I was going to make out with him that night.
Did you also say, if I make out with them, I'll immediately break up the boyfriend once I get home?
I did. Yes. And I was like, and so I like,
doesn't
break up.
Count. It's like,
right. I was like, counts, and I'll break up with him. Definitely would have counted. I didn't. This didn't end up happening.
Right. But you were like, I'm open to it.
I most likely would have had the opportunity presented itself to me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It didn't. I don't think he was into me at all. But that was like one of those things where I was like, shit, like I'm certainly not into this boyfriend at home if I'm over here being like this cute boy from Paris.
Yeah, you know, if you're that easily tempted, we'll put it that way.
Yeah, right, exactly, like this random person that I just met. Meanwhile, my like poor high school boyfriend was talking about like how we were going to manage being long distance when we go to college, and I was like, I barely managed an admit weekend, so I don't think I don't think this is going to work
out. It's not for me, right? It's also like both of us in these young scenarios. I don't know how your parents were, but clearly it sounds like my mom was very like, you're young. Like, this is fun. This is great. But like, you're not marrying the kid you date in high school. You know, like she's just like, this is the time to have fun. You should see what else is out there. Like, you know, whatever. But this one I find very interesting. Mm-hmm. If your partner took a truth pill, what one question would you ask them?
Oh, do I have to ask them something?
Yes, that's the hypothetical. It's like, answer could basically be, there's some stuff I just don't want to know. Like you're starting.
And that's kind of what I'm saying. That's kind of what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, what question, this is the thought process that goes through my mind for this hypothetical. Like, what question would I not get a potentially not get a truthful answer to normally, because otherwise I would just ask them,
right?
But also will not hurt my feelings.
No, that's the game. That's why it's like they have a truth pill. Oh, there's supposed to be another line to this. They will not remember that you asked them the question.
Oh, fuck. That's an interesting
So it's like line. There's no memory after the truth pill. So when they have the truth pill, you can ask them.
But I will remember.
You'll remember. That's the point. It's like you're going to know. And then you will have that information. And what you do with that information is up to you. But it sounds like you're essentially like, I wouldn't ask a question that I think would almost jeopardize the relationship.
Yeah. Like, I don't think I would ask a question. Because I'm like thinking about the question that you ask would have to be a question that you don't think you'd get a truthful answer to usually, or that you would never ask.
I don't think it's that you don't think you'd get the truthful. You just would know you were 100% getting the truth. So like, let's say you've been dating someone for like 2 years or something, and you've been talking about marriage and whatever. They take the truth pill. I feel like my question would just be like, do you want to marry me? And I get the full truth. Because I don't sit there thinking it's going to be a no, but it's like, I would look at it like that reassured. Yes. It reassured all my feelings, all that stuff.
Or like, when do you plan on proposing or something like that?
Well, that I wouldn't want to know. I'd want a surprise. But like, if you want to marry me, then, you know, the steps in between are going to happen somehow.
Yeah.
But like at your core, you really do. You really, you know, I assume that means you also really love me. Like, I'm just trying to think of a scenario. Maybe this question's more fun. One of your exes takes a pill, truth pill, and they're not going to know what you ask. What do you want to ask them?
I think I would ask each of my exes who broke up with me, mm-hmm. why did you break up with me?
I think that's the number one question most women would ask is, what is the real reason you broke up with me for?
Because we know it's not because you wanted to be sober and vegan. Like, we know.
We know it wasn't because you just didn't want a relationship right now. What was the real reason?
We know.
See, that's something that like also obviously can be hurtful, but you're like, we're not together anymore.
So it doesn't matter.
I feel like that's a very, women would say that.
I like the for the partner one, the like, do you want to marry me? Or like, do you see us together forever? I'd probably ask that. I'd probably ask like, do you see us together forever?
Something that I already
think
the answer is the right answer. Not the right answer. Something I already think the answer is what I want to hear. But it almost like confirms your feelings and your read on the situation.
Yeah.
Because what if you asked the question, like, do you see yourself marrying me? And their answer was, to be honest, I'm still very afraid of marriage commitment in general. If I was to get married to someone, I do see it being you. But at my core, I still don't want to be married. How much would you rather have that information than not? And that's still not insulting to you. That's like, oh, you got your own self-work to do.
I think when I was originally hearing this hypothetical and thinking about the possible questions, I was thinking things of like, do you think you settled? Or like, ooh, am I like, do you love me more than you've loved other people? Like things like that, that would like hurt my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, do you love me would be a question I'd be tempted to ask. Not more than other people. Just, do you love me? Like, you saying I love you to me, do you really mean it, basically? And if they're like, yes, you really mean it. Perfect. Great.
Yeah.
If they say no, I would rather have that information and break up with them.
Yes, goodbye. Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, okay,
I'd be like, when does this pill wear off? We're done.
When will you start remembering so I can break up with you?
I want you to remember this part. We are over. He's like, what did I do? That, I'm like, you know what you did. You know what you did.
In your heart of hearts.
And I just fucking leave. See, then it would make it fun. What a fun breakup to have. I know the reason, and you don't. And I'm going to make you think about it for the rest of your life.
What a lot of fucking men have done to me. Okay, I have a less serious one.
Okay.
If you arrive to a date first, should you wait for the other person before ordering?
Yes. Absolutely.
Agreed. And yet so many people do not.
Okay. I think the only exception to the rule is a drinks date. You get a text. Hey, I'm so sorry. I'm running 15, 20 minutes late.
Yes. If the other person is late, this goes
if the other person lets you know they're late, go ahead and order a drink.
Agreed.
That's also why I always bring cash on dates, because I can just buy my one drink. So you don't have a tab open. There's no tab, and then there's no weirdness with the bill.
Yeah.
So
I have shown up to so many dates where the person has already ordered a drink and I was not late.
I find it a little rude.
I think it's rude. I think it's rude if a friend does that.
Is it bad that my first assumption would be like, how long have you been here? / was there a date before me?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
You know, like because I'd just be saying,
like, you couldn't wait 2 seconds to have a drink
or text me, because I've had this. They just got there before me. They text me, hey, I'm putting in an order. What would you like to drink?
Totally. Very different. That's very different than showing up and there's already a drink there. And you're like, okay, there was one.
And no explanation, you know?
Yeah. Or like there was one that recently that was especially odd because you had to order at the bar, but then go sit at a table. And so I got there. He was already at a table with the drink. I like sat down. I did not know the setup. Mm-hmm. I sat down. He already has a beer. And then he's like, oh, you got to go to the bar to order.
Okay. I would actually read that scenario not as rude. I would, obviously it's a little rude, but I would more go, he wants to split the bill on this date. He's not paying for me. That's why, yeah. That's why he picked this place. He knew how it worked. And he came early so that he would have no pressure to buy my drink, which is fucking bullshit.
That guy actually ended
like,
up paying for
my response, honestly, now that I've been around the block, if he was like, oh, you have to go to the bar to open a drink, I'd go, oh, do you have a tab open? And if he was like, no, I'd be like, oh, okay, am I buying my drink or are you buying my drink? I would have no qualms about it, personally. Because that's a new rule for myself. I'm like, I don't pay for first dates. And if I walked in and that's how I was being treated, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to buy this drink and I'm going to sit somewhere else. Or I would just leave.
You're going to sit somewhere else?
I would. If I really wanted to be at that bar, I'd be like, oh, okay. Because I would look at them and go, so it's not a date. And if he was like, no, it's a date, I'd be like, okay, well, I would raise my son to pay for the first date. So I don't know what we're doing here. But it's a turnoff for me. I'm like, I'm fucking over it.
Like that's totally valid for you. I don't mind. Right? I don't mind splitting the bill on first dates. But it was more the like, I know you do, and that's okay for you. But like it's more just like the structure of it that bothered me. Like less about the money behind it, and more just the like lack of consideration.
Oh, the whole thing bothers me for sure. Yeah. But that's like an extra caveat that I'm like. I'd be looking at them like, are you going to go to the bar with me to order this drink? Or this is, I'm getting my own drink. Like, we're in a fucking high school cafeteria. Like, I'm going to go get my tray and come sit down.
Yeah, it's just like a little like, oh, okay. Yeah, it was weird to me. And it wasn't like it was busy and he's like, oh, I had to grab this table. So now I have to sit here. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Or like I said, the courtesy move is texting me. I'm putting in an order. You know, what can I get you?
Because
I've had that happen and I'm like, I'm about to walk in. And they go, oh, and then they just wait. Yeah. Overall rude.
You can wait 2 seconds to have your drink.
Not for it. There's one I'm curious to ask you specifically.
Okay.
Let's say you walk into a room full of every person you've ever slept with. You have to go up and make
room.
A speech about something. What would you talk about? Or what would you do, I guess?
Honestly, I would probably start singing karaoke.
You'd just be like, welcome to karaoke night, as if everybody knew that's what it was, with no fucking karaoke machine or music.
Well, okay, I guess
welcome to acapella karaoke night.
It's awkward already. It can't get worse.
Well, you know what? You can try to employ people to be like the acapella bass and shit.
Yeah, right? I'd be like, you, beatbox.
Yeah. You think that's less awkward than you just making a speech about something.
No, but I know what to say. It is absolutely not less awkward. It is so awkward.
Oh god.
But my immediate thought was, how do I do something that I don't have to think about? Like, how do I do something where I don't have to come up with words?
Okay.
And yeah. I don't have to think about it. And there are just so many songs that I've done at karaoke a million times that I frankly don't need music or lyrics for anymore. And so it would be horrifically awkward. Let's be clear that.
But what would your opening be? Thank you all for
None.
Being here today.
No opening.
Just immediate. Right in. Just immediate.
For
just like a pill.
For delicious death. Yeah. I literally would probably just start going, which is the beginning of Fergalicious.
Oh, boy. I kind of can't believe this is your answer, and I can believe it at the same time. I thought you would have went corporate. I feel like there's two avenues to this question, right? You could go corporate. Like, what is something I actually know about that I could, like...
Or absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, be like a presentation of some kind, you know? Because when I thought about this today, so we got to cheat a little bit. We got to maybe think about it. I was like, there's two routes I can go. One route, I think I would pretend I had a TED Talk coming up.
Okay.
I'd say, thank you all for coming to my practice round of my TED Talk. I don't know if you've heard or not, but I've been selected to give one, and thank you so much for being here so I could practice. And then I would just talk out of my ass about something.
That's the problem. What would it be on? That I think I would just, my mind would go blank.
Well, you know what actually would be kind of hilarious is there would be people in this room that knew I had herpes and other people that did not. So I feel like I'd say, I got a TED talk about herpes. Some of you were BH before herpes.
And PH?
Like BC? I mean, I feel like I would try to make it funny somehow and address an elephant in the room.
I mean, you have a major advantage that you have literal comedy sets.
I know, but
do your fucking set.
I would be more mortified to do my fucking set than talk about anything else. So this is where we differ. You're like, just go to your comedy. I'm like, are you fucking crazy? In front of every man I've ever dated? I'm going to do jokes about dating and relationships that were inspired by the people in this room?
I'm rapping.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was like, you know, give a presentation on Microsoft Excel or whatever. That's what
I probably could talk about my favorite formulas for a while.
Here are my favorite formulas, right?
That's a great idea.
You know, I could guys that are also formula men. I feel like there would be audience participation.
I could talk for probably an hour about Excel formulas and be fine.
See? You just got to think, what do I know?
Maybe I'll talk about Notion.
I think something that would be hilarious that I thought of that I might do, because I would think it was funny to address the elephant in the room of like, you might be all wondering, why am I here? How are we all connected? And I'd be like, surprise, it's through my vagina. Anyway.
Like, I'd you make them all line up in chronological order?
No, I think I would do a paper plate award ceremony. And I would come up with an award for each person. You know?
Incredible. Give me an example.
I mean, first guy that made me come with no help, that's a great award. I think any man would be happy to get that award.
Everyone would be thrilled.
They'd be like, this is awkward, but they'd look around the room like, yeah, that's right. First one. What up?
Paper plate.
What up?
Would there be some people that just had participation trophies?
Participation plates. I would try to find a positive.
You were technically there. Good job.
I'd try to find a positive unless they were really a terrible person to me, then I would embarrass them. And I would think that was kind of funny. I'd be like, you knew this was coming. And they'd say, yep. And I'd have them all walk across the stage like graduation, baby. Here's your plate. Thank you so much. Shake my hand.
Strong handshake.
Pick someone to be the photographer. That, I think, is a pretty hilarious route you could go. I think it'd be funny.
Okay, I have a question about exes for you.
Okay.
If you could redo any of your relationships or people you dated again, but you can't change a thing, would you? Like, relive them.
Wait, so then it's not a redo? Because I can't change anything?
If you could relive. If you could go back and relive, like travel back in time.
But I'm not allowed to, like, break up with them sooner.
Can't change a thing.
Can't change anything.
Uh-uh.
No. Like, a redo to me is you get to do it over in a different way.
Yeah, it's more relive. Not redo. Relive.
Oh. No. No. None of those guys deserved me anyway.
Fuck them.
Yeah.
No paper plate for you, sir.
I'm not going to go through figuring out they didn't really want me a second time.
Very fair.
Like, I feel like I'll just upload our conversation to this little AI thing, and it'll tell me all I need to know. I don't need to relive it and go, this was the moment the tide turned. You know, I got the fucking receipts. I could upload it. I could figure it out.
Yeah.
Because if anything, I would go back if I had to relive one, I would pick one to relive. And I would end that shit sooner. Maybe not ASAP. I would probably enjoy like the first month or two of the exciting like dating time.
Yeah.
And having some companionship for a little bit. Maybe I would. You know, maybe I'd be like, I'll do a month of that. That was fun. You know? Depending on how good they were in bed, I would have sex with them sooner teach them or later. Who knows?
There you go.
But the fact that you'd have to just redo the whole thing the same exact way, not worth it.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, probably not worth it either way, but you know what I mean. I don't find any joy in that. Boo. Boo to that question. If you knew you'd meet the person you'll marry 5 years from now, would you still date?
I've been contemplating this one all day. This one has lived rent-free in my head since it was submitted.
Let's say you don't have this podcast or dating platform.
Yeah, I kind of have to take that out of the mix, right? Like, because that would be tough.
Well, I'm saying one way or the other.
I have a clarifying question on what date means. Am I celibate?
No. No, so that's not at all what dates mean. No.
I'm asking.
It means like what we're doing right now. We're going on dates. I'm hitting on people at a fucking frame store. Just being a lunatic, really. Like, I love this question because I can't tell you how many times I have thought to myself, if I had a partner, the amount of time and energy I spent in dating and essentially like finding new people to go out with, whether it's online or in person or whatever, how productive I could be in other parts of my life and focus on those parts fully.
Yeah, I think the answer is no. Like, I wouldn't. The problem is that I do enjoy going on dates. I do enjoy meeting people. Obviously, I enjoy sex. I enjoy like being romantic with people. And I wouldn't want to be completely at a zero on that for 5 years, even if I knew it was coming to an end. So that's why I was asking. The question
is too, right? Essentially, I think it's asking, would you miss dating at all?
I would.
And I think that's reasonable to say, because I don't think I would, but I look at it more from a career lens where I'm like, I would just focus so hard on comedy. And if anything, I think it would be a good challenge for me with jokes that it'd be like, I'm not going on dates. So come up with jokes that have nothing to do with dating. Like, you have to talk about all the other things in life and make it funny.
Yeah, I think I would miss dating. Like, I think I would miss meeting new people and like having that like excited feeling, and also sleeping with people and like, you know, all that stuff. Like, I think I would miss that stuff.
See, but you're looping in the sleeping with people. I say that doesn't get looped in. If you said it means no sex for 5 years, yes, then I would continue to date. If like I had to only have sex with men I went on dates with, sure.
But
then
would I meet the people that I'm going to have sex with if I'm not going on dates?
Literally just out.
Well, I don't do that very well.
Yeah, but you got horny enough, you fucking would, you know? All right? If anything, this would be a great challenge for you, Allie. Well, no dates, get laid. No, I'm kidding.
Well, because here, I think my issue would be is that I don't enjoy casual sex with people that I have not built any sort of like rapport with.
Yeah, not typically, but I still think it's a loophole. You could still build this rapport with people and not be going on dates. Like, think of people we were hooking up with when we were young and we thought we were like dating them. Reality, we're not dating them at all. Like they invite me to a party last minute that they're at. Not a date.
Yeah, I guess I just...
So actually, now that we've brought this up, I would still date. Yeah. I take it back. You know what? That would get more depressing.
That's what I'm saying.
I guess I still would, because I guess there's no caveat that's like, either you have to like go on one date a week or no dates at all or something like that.
Exactly. So, like, I could, I think I would kind of approach it the way I have been the last couple of months when I've been more into... Yeah, like the last couple of months, I've been enjoying summer. I've been working a lot. I've been traveling. I haven't put as much of a focus on dating, but I have still been on dates. And if you listen to the Patreon, I've been out with some other people too. And I've been enjoying that, even though it is not really leading, most likely what I've been doing in the last couple of months is not like leading to the person I'm going to marry. But that's felt better for me across the last couple of months. So I feel like if I knew for a fact 5 years from now that I was going to meet the person I was going to marry and I could not meet them sooner, I would probably do what I've been doing the last couple of months for that time.
You know what? I feel like just knowing you are going to meet the person you marry, or let's say, you know, for people listening, that marriage isn't their goal. They don't ever want to get married, but you want to find like your lifetime partner.
Yeah.
I feel like for all of us, just knowing that would be so soothing to hear. Like, okay, this is going to happen for me. It's not happening right now. It's going to happen in 5 years. Great. I'll have fun in the meantime. So, you know, it's like, if this was really true, maybe I more would actually see it that way of like, oh, so it's going to happen. Because more all our fears come from, when is this going to happen? Is it ever going to happen? The fact that it just gets like, no, it will happen. It's just not happening soon. 5 years. Cool. I'll freeze my eggs. I'll have some fun. Like, you know,
Yeah.
I think what would be interesting is, let's change the question. Let's say your options are, if you don't date for 5 years at all, but then your career is in the place you want it to be, and you hit the level of success that you really want, would you give up dating for 5 years to do that? Or you date for 5 years and you will meet your husband within that time, but your career at the end of the 5 years is not going to be the level you want it to be.
Oof.
I think I'd take the career route, honestly. But obviously, where my career is at in comedy-wise, that would be truly life-changing for me to have that difference.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it from a framework of, if we were having this conversation 5 years ago, I probably would say the same thing. Yeah. Where I'm at now, mm-hmm. I'm like, if I'm where I'm at now in 5 years, I'm good with that.
You're good with that, and you'd be very happy to have your person with you. Yeah.
100%. And, is where I'm at right now where I want to be? If I had my ideal where I'd want to be? No.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very, very happy with it.
But I'd be very content. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the framework is a little bit different in terms of, if 5 years ago, absolutely would have said career.
Yeah. I feel like I'd go career side. If you were asking it right now, I would pick career side.
No, that totally makes sense. Because
it's like, those are the two worries I think a lot of us have in life, right? Yeah. Am I going to be as successful as I want to be, both in career and love? And however you measure success in love, you know what I mean? Just in love, finding your person, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think.
Worth it. I didn't date for 5 years, so what? I got toys.
I got toys.
We got AI now. I could sext with an AI person if I fucking wanted to, you know?
It's all good. They can tell me how good our communication is. It'll be great. Ay, ay, ay. All right. Well, this was fun.
This is fun. I thank you for everyone who submitted questions, by the way.
Yeah, we still have a lot. So maybe if people like this, we could do another one. FindingMrWright.com/podcast. You can submit there. Just submit whatever, a suggestion, and put it in there. And
we also, on the Patreon, have been getting some Am I the Asshole scenarios that are personally from our listeners. And I fucking love it. I do too.
So fun. I was listening to the one that you and Rourke did, and it was awesome. And we got another one for the next one.
Got another one. I'm so excited.
I saw.
Okay, well.
Yeah, right. So if you are a patron, then you will probably hear that one this weekend.
Yes. So thank you guys for submitting, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.